Κρήτη είναι.
Is Crete really just Knossos in the Heraklion Archaeological Museum? Every year, the island welcomes thousands of visitors from around the world. Often we see queues forming outside one or two of the more well-known archaeological sites. But Crete has much more to offer. Hidden gems that haven't yet come into the spotlight, areas that even Cretans themselves might not have explored. We are happy to have with us Ms. Eleni Samaritaki, President of the Association of Licensed Tour Guides of Crete and Santorini, to guide us through these lesser-known paths. Ms. Samaritaki, first of all, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Let's start with the basics. What are currently the most popular attractions in Crete, the ones most people recommend to others, the ones that appear in every tourist guide?
Definitely Knossos, that's to be expected. It's the second most visited site in Greece overall. The first in Crete, and I think it's understandable that anyone visiting the island would want to get to know the jewel of Minoan civilization. We consider it the first European civilization, the largest of the Minoan palace centers, and also the most publicized, naturally. Many visitors to the island are deeply into Greek mythology and history, and many learn about Greek mythology in school. They know the myth of the labyrinth and associate this visit with memories from their childhood. The second most visited site, which is also promoted by travel agencies, is Spinalonga, the Spinalonga Fortress, the island, which of course has gone through many historical phases. It's a place of natural beauty, and as a monument it gained a lot of recognition. We could say it was highly publicized, especially after the publication of Victoria Hislop's book. Victoria Hislop's work, that literary piece that, as you know, has been translated into many languages, and of course the TV series, which is also available online in various languages. Many visitors, having read the story or watched the series, are very eager to see the place where all these events took place.
You've been a guide for many years. Did you notice a difference in visitor demand for Spinalonga before and after Hislop?
Absolutely. Spinalonga always attracted visitors because, as I mentioned, it's an area of exceptional natural beauty. The entire Alunda Bay has gorgeous spots and views, and of course, the boat ride is a big part of the experience too. But after Hislop, let's be honest, visitor numbers skyrocketed. More and more people are coming to Spinalonga.
In the other regions, like Rethymno and Hania, what do visitors ask for?
Visitors ask for everything. The question is, what do we promote? How are tours organized? You know, after the COVID period, things have changed a bit. We're seeing more and more visitors turning towards exploratory tourism, but they want immersive experiences. They want to escape the beaten path, get away from the standard tours offered by agencies, which, by the way, have been downsized. The options now are far fewer compared to the past.
Yes. Especially considering what Crete has to offer.
Exactly. There used to be guided tours, even to the more remote corners of the island. And they were very successful. In recent years, in the last 10 years I'd say, those kinds of tours offered by travel agencies have really declined. They basically offer Knossos, sometimes combined with the city of Heraklion or the archaeological museum, or Spinalonga. Or with Ios Nikolaos, maybe including lunch and a short walk through town. Rarely do we see tours heading south, towards the Massara Plain. A traditional excursion used to be to Festos and Gortina, often combined with a visit to Martala. But we're seeing a decrease in the number of tours focused on specific places that are being promoted, without the same variety as before. So people prefer to move around on their own, more independently. Another favorite excursion was the Lasithi Plateau, always combined with the Dictyon Cave. This year, the Dictyon is closed due to rock stabilization works and an ongoing restoration project. so tours have been limited. At the beginning of the season, there was an initiative organized by the Lasithi Plateau Municipality for tour operators, guides, and agencies to get to know a different Lasithi, not just tied to the cave, but to the traditional activities of locals, the villages, the natural beauty, and the great food. It's meant as an alternative while the Diktian is closed. I have to admit it hasn't really been incorporated into tour programs yet. Even though there are wonderful monuments, like the monasteries in the area, which are not only of religious but also historical interest. Unfortunately, they haven't been included in travel agency itineraries as much as we would like. So visitors often choose to rent a car and explore the inland areas on their own.
Tell us about some places you believe are truly worth adding to a visitor's itinerary. You already mentioned Festos and Gortyna, which are also very important archaeological sites.
They are indeed significant. In fact, Festos is one of the Minoan sites included in a dossier the ministry is preparing to propose for UNESCO World Heritage status. And the importance isn't just a matter of intention, there's a full development plan for the site. The space will be beautifully arranged. It's already stunning. The Minoans didn't choose the location of Festos by chance. It offers views over the entire plain and towards Mount Silorites. So this entire project includes plans to enhance the site. And I believe we also need to reduce the congestion at Knossos. But also present the Minoan civilization as a whole. Because it's not just about Knossos. There were all these regional centers that managed the economy of the countryside. So Festos is a very important site. Ancient Gortyna and the excellent Museum of Messera, which is truly remarkable. A huge effort was made. It's a modern museum with great facilities. Visitors can explore it on their own. There are fantastic areas with digital info points. I think it's a little gem that Messera had been waiting for. And we should all support it. Agencies as well, but also independent travelers. Even those who've been to Knossos and don't feel like visiting another Minoan site could combine a visit to the Messera Plain with the Gortyna Monument, the archaeological site, and the museum. And then relax, have a swim, enjoy a meal in Martala. On the way, they could also visit one of the area's beautiful monasteries.
A complete experience.
A complete experience. It's a trip in itself.
You mentioned that instead of expanding, tours have been shrinking in recent years. In the coming years, considering what you said and what anyone involved in tourism can see, that people are now looking for something more authentic, not just the touristy stuff. Could travel agencies enrich their programs? Since there are endless possibilities, in the south, in the north, east, west, and the heart of Crete?
Of course, we talked about Heraklion Prefecture. You could break away from the usual routes, return to the Libyan Sea, and offer something that combines history and religious tradition with leisure. The same could happen in the east, in Lasithi. There used to be excursions to Sitia, to the wonderful palace of Zakros, which has been forgotten by time and by the travel agencies. Very few tours are now organized in that direction. Whereas in the past, every travel agency offered this tour once a week. It was combined with a visit to the exceptional Toplu Monastery, which holds a remarkable treasure, an outstanding museum with extremely rare icons. Aside from the beauty and history of the monastery itself, the museum visit is absolutely worth it. The winery, the wine tasting, you can combine it with that. The olive oil, the wine, exceptional products. And you can also combine it with a trip to Vai, which tourists are familiar with. Many try to get to Vai after reading about it. and they might end up passing by Toplu Monastery, missing out on the opportunity to visit something special, a true gem of the region. The area around Sitia has amazing beaches. The best waters, in my opinion, southwest Crete. And the far east, in my view, they have the best seas. So clean, and it's not just Vi Beach, it's also all the beaches to the right and east of that point. The food is fantastic. The fish in Hiona is the best in Crete. And the fish soup too. There are so many villages. In Lassithi, how many people know about the incredible Venetian villa in Etia? Which has been restored. It's a hidden gem in the middle of nowhere, with an amazing view. There are many such places. We talked about the east. At the start of the season, we had some discussions that there might be an issue with the ticket price increase at Spinalonga, and whether visitors, families for example, could afford it. But there are alternatives in the same area. For instance, one of the most beautiful archaeological sites in Crete is ancient Lato. It's near the village of Kritsa, a traditional settlement. And there's also the church, the frescoed church of Panagia Kera in Kritsa, with extremely rare wall paintings. Full guided tours take place, with detailed studies of the art of that period inside that church. So a wonderful visit to the Byzantine church is possible, along with a visit to one of the most important ancient Greek cities in Crete. It's time we started showing these cities to the world. You know, because of the Minoan civilization, all the focus goes there, to showcasing the island's antiquity. But archaic Crete has incredible innovations to show, something we also see with the temporary exhibition organized at the Heraklion Archaeological Museum, the Hecatompyli exhibition, where we get a comprehensive picture of the ancient cities of Crete. One of them was ancient Lato. The natural surroundings are incredibly beautiful. The view is stunning. The greenery, the space, the ruins. I believe Lato has been unfairly overlooked by travel agencies. And it's close to Ayas Nikolaos too. It could be a really lovely day trip. Lato, Panagia Kera. A herbal tea in the village of Kritsa. A stroll through its alleys, followed by a visit to Ayas Nikolaos, where we now have the new exhibition at the Archaeological Museum of Ayas Nikolaos. We spoke about Messara, but I also need to mention the museum in Ayas Nikolaos. This year, we guides decided to cut our New Year's pie. We change location every year, in Lassithi. And we always combine this event with training.
Yes.
Lifelong learning is part of being a guide. So we went, and we were given a presentation by the Ephorate of Antiquities of Lassithi. And we thanked them of the museum's new exhibition. We were truly impressed. We guides, it's a little gem that deserves to be highlighted by the municipality as well. We've submitted relevant suggestions, and by travel agencies. A visit to Ayas Nikolaos isn't just about the lake. It's also about the museum. So much money was invested, and it holds truly valuable exhibits. It's compact, beautifully curated. I believe it deserves attention. And Ayas Nikolaos is, of course, a very beautiful town. Very picturesque. Ayas Nikolaos is a visit-worthy destination in itself, just for its museum. Beyond Spinalonga, why should all the focus be there? Spinalonga has its own value, no doubt. But our island could offer visitors other opportunities to discover more monuments. Ones that aren't overcrowded. And they would truly enjoy it.
They wouldn't have to stand in line for hours to get a ticket.
Definitely not. We could say the same for Rithymno. The Museum of Eleftherna and the archaeological site. Professor Mr. Stampolidis has done an outstanding job. The Cemetery of Ancient Eleftherna is a rare site. There's also the Minoan Cemetery at Armini, another stunningly beautiful place, right in the forest. which we don't promote properly. You'd only find it if you're a visitor with a car who happens to spot the sign and decides to turn off. Ελευθέρνα as well. Its museum is exceptional, but it's rarely included in agency itineraries. Georgiopolis, which is a beautiful village with lovely waters, and nearby is ancient Lapa. The ruins of ancient Lapa are close to the springs of Georgiopolis. There's a fantastic walking path that leads to the church and cemetery, where the tombs of the five virgins are located, according to religious tradition. These are places still unexplored, which we could promote more. And we haven't even started talking about the mountain villages, which are a treasure in themselves. The Amari Valley, with its Byzantine gems, its frescoed churches. The military museum in Crow Monastery, outstanding work has been done there. The museum is housed in the Clodio Mansion. The Venetian mansion itself is a landmark. And the museum, the military one, offers something different. In Hania too, there's the Hania Museum. A typical visit to Hania usually includes a short city tour, a stroll through town, the Venetian harbor, and some free time, which means the museum doesn't get visited. Only those staying in Hania realize that this neighborhood exists. The beautiful Halepa district, home to the archaeological museum, and they choose to go specifically. It's rarely included in tour itineraries. The archaeological site of ancient Aptera is rarely included, above the port of Souda, with stunning views across the entire bay, and with impressive architectural monuments within the site. Across Crete, we have so many places not just from the Minoan era, but also the Archaic and Byzantine periods, true hidden gems, which can be paired with visits to nearby villages, with immersive experiences, like enjoying a good meal, because in almost every village, you'll find great food. Another area, which I believe is a bit neglected, even though individual travelers often choose it, is the southwest tip of Crete, the region of Sfakia. For me, it's home to one of the island's most beautiful spots. Perhaps my favorite, the Aradina Gorge, with its bridge, the settlement of Aradina, and the stunning church of Archangel Michael. The view from up there, from that village, down into the gorge, is breathtaking. These are places that haven't been widely promoted, but they offer a completely different perspective of our island. Our island is not just about beaches. Crete is a small continent. It's a mountainous land, and anyone who doesn't at least once visit the interior hasn't really seen Crete.
Exactly. And we see that beyond archaeological sites, villages, and beaches, people also want to visit olive mills, maybe a cheese dairy, a women's cooperative, a winery, something that shows them how locals live.
Of course, and I believe excursions should be designed with this in mind. We can, the island and its landmarks allow it, combine visits to historical sites with experiential tourism, with insights into the island's economy. We have excellent olive mills. Most now offer tastings, full presentations of the process, and in many cases you can visit the surrounding olive groves, learn about the olive tree, full guided tours are possible.
We've seen people come. I remember a German group, or the organizer, who came every year. They used to pick olives. It wasn't very professional back then, but it was an experience people really wanted to have.
Yes, and in August there's a lot of interest in taking part in the grape harvest. And that's possible too, many wineries are now moving in that direction. They welcome visitors anyway as they showcase their products. Always paired with tastings. There are fantastic wineries all over Crete. And they also promote this alternative, a day spent harvesting grapes. Quite a few now offer this experience. And cheese dairies too. In Anagia, the Matata. There are some amazing initiatives in the Siloritis Geopark around Mount Ida, where there are incredible Matata that welcome visitors. Visitors really love this kind of experience. I've met visitors who come to the island every single year. They've seen everything, from the most remote monastery or chapel, to both the major and lesser known archaeological sites. So now they're after something different. Last year we organized such a tour in Anagia and they were absolutely thrilled. We visited a matato, made cheese, picked ingredients, saw the animals, and witnessed the respect. Because it matters how the shepherd, the host, treats the visitors and the animals he's showing. We saw this respect, a cleanliness that really impressed them. They tasted the cheeses, even the one they helped make. And the direct interaction really won them over. They loved the whole experience.
I think anyone coming to Crete, or anywhere in the world, really, wants to experience something they can't find anywhere else. Something truly unique.
They're looking for authenticity. That's what they're after, because everything else, wherever you go, is more or less the same. What we should be showcasing is authentic Crete and its continuity. Through the centuries and millennia. That's why we guides insist that these types of tours, these experiential trips, should always be led by a professional. A professional who can really make the connection between past and present. You see, many of these tours are organized but without a professional present. That creates a bit of chaos. Because the information the visitor gets is what stays with them. You need to explain how it's done, why it's done, where the tradition comes from. The herbs, the cheeses, the history of cheese making. The island's terrain, how all these are connected. And suddenly, the cheese tastes different. When you realize the tradition behind it stretches back centuries. Olive oil too, how the Minoans used it, then the Greeks, and how we still use it today. When you taste it, you're tasting a bit of history. That connection is made by the professional guide.
Ms. Samaritaki, thank you for everything you've shared with us. I think we've given visitors to Crete plenty of ideas for every region. And we hope that in the coming years, travel agency itineraries will be enriched to help ease the pressure on sites like Knossos and allow people to discover more of Crete and give more attention to places currently overlooked.
These places deserve our attention. Not all our visitors have the option to rent a car. And it's not easy to drive through mountain roads. So travel agencies, even with mini buses, not necessarily big coaches, should really show some flexibility and promote these Cretan gems.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.